we just want to turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms. We want to read from the book of Psalms. I believe it must be Psalms chapter 24. It's chapter 27. We just want to read verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We may be seated. We just want to share this little thought on these three words from the heart. Here we see a man whom we all know was said to be by God himself a man after my own heart. So David was brought about by the Lord, or he was put here on earth, and I believe not solely for himself, but even for us. Because the scripture says even Jesus Christ was referred to as the son of David. So there was something that was David that God so desired, that our coming to him and our faith in him and our life and our being in God should not be disassociated from that character of David. That's why even God called Abraham. He could have called us in our time to come to worship him. But God, knowing the future, even as Paul said, God knowing that the Gentiles shall be justified by faith, he said to Abraham. Can you see? So there's something that he did to Abraham, something that he said to Abraham, that without that, our faith could not be accepted or perfected before God. So there was something that was in Abraham that God said to Abraham, so that our faith can be perfected. So also it was so in David. When God said, he's a man after my own heart, which means with David, with God, it was a heart-to-heart affair. Because God did not love David because of what he was, but he loved David because of what God himself was. Because David is called a man after God's own heart. So it begins now with God. It begins in God to call, lead him in a way that God will have a continuity with David and a communication between him and David, which is from the heart. So then God called up David, and then he said, seek my face. So when David was called to seek God's face, he did not just jump up and now say, now I'm going to seek the face of God. But he said, my heart said, when God said, seek my face, he says, my heart said, I will seek thy face, O God. So it was now the heart of God, of David, seeking God, because God had said from his own heart, seek my face. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this is now David coming to God, not by his intellectual understanding of the call of God. It was not his intellect. It was not even his ability. It was not even his thought. But it was his heart that said, I will seek the Lord. Amen. So we can see that the relationship between David and God had its foundation and birth in the heart. Why was it so? Because this David is the son, is the father of Jesus. For it is said, Jesus, the son of David. And in Revelation, he says, he is the root of David. Amen. So there's this special relationship between God and David. And this is what we are being brought by the same to God. It is from the heart that we worship God. Yes, our ears have heard his word. Our eyes have seen great things. But it is not our eyes. It is not our ears. But it must be our heart that must be drawn to God. Why from the heart? In the book of Proverbs, and we read chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, we will read from verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Recline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are the life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Solomon, the great wise man, is instructing the son and says, you, my son, hearken unto my words. Give ear to my words and keep your eyes upon them. Even when you hear them, when you see, but there's a place that you should keep them. They must be kept in the heart. Amen. And because you are to keep them in the heart, first of all, you must have the security of the heart. The heart must not just be left to be trodden by anything anyhow. But keep your heart with all diligence, because out of the heart are the issues of life, the power to life, the ability to life is coming from the heart. So you must keep that heart with all diligence, with all care, so that when the word of God comes, it will have a place to stay. You remember Mary of old? Should we hear the word of the Lord? What the angel told her, and even what Jesus said when they were looking for him in the temple. The Bible says, Mary kept all these words in her heart. Maybe she could not have understood them perfectly, but she put them in her heart. If she had kept them in her mind, maybe the mind would be contaminated by discussions and things like that. But she hid those words in her heart. And here Solomon says, you should keep that heart. Even the scripture tells us that we were called by the divine power of God, that we may come to the life of God, because we are his inheritance. And we are kept by the power of his, by his divine power, to that we may obtain an inheritance which is kept in heaven. In heaven, the devil has no access. That's why our inheritance is kept in heaven. Amen. So it all means that it must be kept in a secured place. Amen. But there's one thing again. The Bible tells us that Satan was clever than even Daniel. Satan knew the mystery of God. When God created Adam and Eve, Satan knew the purpose of God, the coming of the Son of God. That's why, right from the beginning, Satan came to kill Abel. Who was that form of Jesus Christ? If Eve had born Abel outside sin, he could have been alive today. There would have been no sin on earth. But the devil had to come and attack there where there was the fountain of life, where there was the beginning of humanity. That's where Satan came to attack. Amen.
Amen.
That's why the scripture encourages us that we should keep the heart with all diligence. Why? In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 17, we read these words in verse 9. It says, it's Jeremiah chapter 17. It says, their heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. Amen.
Amen.
So he says the heart is the most deceitful thing. Why? Because the devil knows the heart is the seat of God. And he said in Ezekiel that Lucifer desired to sit in the throne of God. Can you see that?
Amen.
So Satan wanted him to be God. And where does God dwell? He dwells in the heart. So now the devil also comes, as it was with Eve, who was given to Adam, that she could bring forth the seed of Adam. So when the devil, he did not say to Eve, now you know, you start, just shout at Adam, I don't listen to him. Praise God. Satan did not do that. Because if he had done that, maybe he could have deceived Eve and it would have ended there. But he came to the source of life. That's where he defiled Eve. So that whatever will now come out of Eve, and you know Eve is the mother of all living. So all the people who came on earth came through Eve. So Satan came and defiled the womb of Eve, so that all of us when born will be born through a defiled womb. That's why here the scripture says the heart is deceitful, because there is where Satan wants to dwell. Amen. And when Satan came and defiled the heart of Eve, or the womb of Eve, everybody that was born thereafter is conceived in sin and born in iniquity, comes to the world speaking lies, because the origin is defiled. Amen. So now God comes and says, their heart is deceitful. Who will know it? So when God now wants to deal with us, he doesn't come and try to correct our speech and try to teach us how we should look at things and teach us how we should speak things. He says, I come to the heart. That's where God comes to. Amen. He doesn't even look at the works. He looks at the heart. For here the scripture clearly tells us that when God deals with us, he shall come to the heart. Amen. And he says, I, the Lord, will search the heart. Amen. Why does he search the heart? So that he can give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. God does not reward you because of what you do. He does not reward you because of your good works, but he rewards you according to the fruit of your works. Can you see that?
Amen.
There's a difference between good works and fruits of good works. Amen. I can say, give me an orange. You'll go to the market and buy an orange. But there's another way you can give me an orange. You plant the orange tree, and then you give me an orange. And that orange is the fruit of the orange tree. You do not just go and buy it. There's a possibility of just going and buying an orange. But there is this way of life whereby when you are giving me the orange, you are not just giving me an orange. You are giving me the fruit of your labor. You have planted life, and then you are giving the fruit of that life. You remember one day when Jesus was in the temple and people were offering their offerings, and an old widow came and put there a piece of money. In value, it was the least of all the monies that were put there. But Jesus said, of all those who have given, this widow woman has given the most. He says, why? Because she has given her life. Amen. So it's not the amount of money. Though yes, it's good to give much money. But this woman gave her life. That was what was treasured by God himself. Because she had given her life. Not just giving money. Because anybody can give money. You get that? That's why even Paul said, I can even give my body to be burnt. I can give all good things to people. But if I have not love, and what is love? Love is God. Amen. And how did God call us? According to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 says, we were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of God. And in the beloved of God, we were redeemed. Can you see that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So you can see everything that God has done to his church is coming from his love, which is his heart. That's why Paul says, I can do things, but if they don't have their originality from the heart of God, it is useless. So here the Bible says, I'll give every man according to the fruit of his good works. That's what Paul tells us in the book of Colossians. Amen. I think we can just read that again. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, it must be chapter 1.
Colossians chapter 1.
In verse 9 it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Can you see that? We are to be fruitful in good works. Not just do good works, but the good works being the fruit. And when you ever talk of fruit, we are talking of life. According to Genesis 1:11, let every tree bring forth fruit. And in the fruit will be the seed after his own kind. So the continuity of the tree is in the seed, because the seed is the fruit. Can you see that? So continuation does not come from similitude, that we can just maybe put another tree that looks like this one. But the continuity of purity is from the seed that comes from the tree. Amen.
Amen.
So that's why God here is saying he wants to look at the heart. Many good works we can do, but you remember the Lord said on the day of judgment they will come to him and say, Lord, we did this good and we did this good in your name. But then you say, I don't know you. Amen. So good things can be done. But now, as for us, we are the children of God. And when God wanted us to worship him, he did not just teach us how to worship, but he gave us the new birth. That's why you know Nicodemus. He was a great teacher. He taught the people of Israel. You could get maybe the boys who were just running around in the streets and bring them to his class and teach them the laws of God and discipline them in the worship of God, and there will be good boys now. So when he saw Jesus coming, he says, you are a teacher from God, because what you are doing, God is vindicating it. Because he was also a teacher, and he had seen the effects of his good teachings. But Jesus said, I did not come for that. I'm not a teacher. I came to facilitate the new birth, so that the people can be born of God. Because that which is born of flesh is flesh. You can teach it spiritual things, and it can imitate spiritual things, but it is still flesh. But God wants us to be him. So how can we be God? It is by birth. Can you see that?
Amen.
So that's why he says you must be born again. You cannot just be taught into these things. So God is looking at the heart, because it is the source of life, so that whatever comes from the heart will be an issue of life, because God himself is life. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So this is God. He deals with us from the heart. Why the heart? Let's just look at this heart, brothers and sisters. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, we'll just read verse 34 and 35. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So he was telling these people, can you see, he even points to their DNA. He says, how can you? You are a generation of vipers. You are the children of the devil. You have the blood of evil. How can you do good works? So you can see it's impossible to do good works for God if you are not born of Him. So it must come from the heart. That's why we say this statement some time back. Don't dress like a Christian. Don't speak like a Christian. Don't walk like a Christian. Because the devil can do all that also. He changes his ministers into ministers of light. But you must be a Christian. So that when walking, you don't even think of it. You just walk Christian. You speak Christian. Because that's who you are. Can you see that? I speak like a man because I'm a man. I don't have to practice to speak like a man. I don't have to practice to walk like a man. Because I've got the spirit of a man. The body of a man. The mentality of a man. The heart of a man. Everything is man. So whenever I start to speak, I just speak like a man. Because that's who I am. That's why God is now coming to the heart. He says, I search the heart so that I can give every man according to the fruit of his works. He's not just looking at good works. He's looking at the heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why that? We go to chapter 15 of the same book of Matthew.
Matthew 15.
We'll start from verse 18. The Lord Jesus Christ says here, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Because the Pharisees were saying your disciples are eating with unclean hands. So they are defiling themselves. But Jesus says, it is in the heart where comes out evil thoughts. Can you see that? You may think you are controlled by your thoughts. But thoughts come from the heart. So, evil thoughts, they come from the heart. Adulteries, fornications, and all those bad things, they come from the heart. Amen. So, when God looks now at things, He just does not look because things have been done. But He goes further than something that has been done. He looks at the heart. Amen. You know why Eli was killed? Why Eli died? And why his sons died? It was because Eli was not controlling his sons. Is that right? And they died. But you go down a bit, you'll find that Samuel had also the same problem with his sons. They were doing bad also, but they were not killed. Does God show favor? No ways. God looks at the heart. Amen. When Peter says, I don't know him, 3 times denying the Lord. But Judas Iscariot, it was only once. He did not even say, I don't want you. I don't know you. He showed the people that I know him. Kissed him. And he was not given a minute to repent. Does God show favor? He doesn't. Peter said that, but he was given the opportunity to repent. David, you know what he did with Bathsheba? But he was given the opportunity to repent. Ananias and Sapphira, they were not given 5 seconds to repent. Does God show favor? God forbid. It's the heart. God looks at the heart. Sometimes we look at the outward and we judge from the outward. That's why even the great prophet Samuel, when he went to Jesse's house, he looked at those gallant men and he says, sure, before me stands the anointed of the Lord. But God said, don't look at the form. I, the Lord, looks at the heart. Amen. Can you see that? So, when we are dealing with God, have this in your mind, that God looks at the heart. And he says, make the tree good so that the fruit can be good. Can you see that?
Amen.
Don't treat the fruits. Treat the tree. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we just want to look at this. When their heart is overtaken, God has no more dealings with that heart. He cannot deal with a heart that has forsaken his word. Many mistakes you can do. But if your heart is right, there's always a way of making right those things. The Bible says, a righteous man falls 7 times. Not 1 time.
Not
7 times. But the Lord brings him up. Why? Why that patience? Why that persistence in God? Yes, you have fallen. But God looks at the heart. Many things we are doing because we are ignorant. We don't know that what we are doing is not right. God gives us the opportunity to impart that knowledge on us. How does he impart the knowledge? By a spiritual birth. So that when he brings now his teaching, it will be spiritual teaching to a spiritual person. That's why John says, you don't need anybody to teach you, because the anointing of the Spirit that is in you teaches you. Amen.
Amen.
So you don't even need to be taught. I don't care, a great preacher can come here and preach. He'll never show you anything new. He'll only bring to remembrance that which was already in you, which was put in God before the foundation of the world. That's why God deals with the heart. Let's commit our hearts to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Because you know, there are those birds that they call, is it a parrot? A parrot can be taught to say good morning.
Good morning.
And it will say it exactly. You see?
Amen.
It can be taught. Come back. It will never say come back. It will say come back. The right way. But that will never make it a human being. And it doesn't even understand what coming back means. It's just something put in his head. So God does not deal with us that way. Can you see that? God deals with that from the heart. Amen. Now, so Solomon says, keep your heart. Amen. Everything else can fall off, but just keep your heart. As we have spoken of Judas Iscariot, let's just read from the 13th chapter of John,
chapter 13,
verse 27. And after the soap, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast. For he should give something, that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the soap, went immediately out, and it was night. The Bible here says, and after the soap, Satan entered into him. There was the problem. When Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, the next thing, Judas did not hear Peter speak. He did not hear Thomas speak. He heard the voice of Jesus. That eternal voice. Isn't that what we want nowadays? We say we are hearing the audible voice of God. Judas heard the audible voice of God himself. What you do, do quickly. Although it was the audible voice of God himself, when Jesus stood up, because Satan had already filled his heart, and he's being ordered by God himself, do quickly. Amen.
Amen.
What was he supposed to do? A few days back, he had been given money to betray Jesus. And Jesus had even warned him, together with the other disciples, one of you is going to betray me. And Judas knew, I've already received the money. Is that right?
Amen.
Then when Jesus says, do quickly, it should have come into the heart of Judas. What I did was wrong. So he is telling me to do quickly. What do I need now to do quickly? It must be to repent of what I did. But there was no place for repentance. Because Satan had filled not his mind, not his intellect, but his heart, though he heard the voice of God, it did nothing to him. Amen.
Amen.
And when you go to Acts chapter 5, it was said of Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Who has not made a mistake here? Here we are here. From the pastor, the deacons, the preachers, and everybody. Who has not made a mistake here? Who can lift his hand and say, I never made a mistake since I came to the Lord? We have made our mistakes. Is that right? Amen. But why are we still here? It's the forgiveness of God. It's the repentance of our heart. But if Satan has filled your heart, it's impossible to repent. That's why even Simon the sorcerer, Peter said to him, you have entered into a bitterness. Maybe you can pray, you can ask God for forgiveness. Maybe God will forgive you. Peter, what are you saying? You are saying if somebody prays, God may. Have you changed your gospel? Because according to Acts 2:38, you said, repent and be baptized and
will
be filled with the Holy Ghost. There was no maybe there. It was direct and distinct and truthful. But with Simon the sorcerer, he says, maybe. It could be. Why? Because Satan had entered his heart. There's no repentance when Satan enters. That's why God destroyed the earth during the time of
Noah.
It says the imagination of their hearts was evil from morning to sunset. And God says, now I cannot deal with this now. It's a situation beyond his control now. A situation he cannot reverse. He says, I'm just going to destroy. Because evil had entered the heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So how does God deal with us? He doesn't look at what we do, which is good. He doesn't look at how we can perfect our worship. That's why the Pharisees were a very good, example of worship. Their dressing was telling of their worship. Their diet told was telling of their worship. Because that Pharisee says, I fast twice a week. And even their money and their economy was controlled by worship. Because he says, I give my tithes. Everything is perfect. But Jesus said, you are vipers, son of Satan. You cannot do good. So God looks at the heart. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we just read maybe one verse there, which is verse 2. Chapter 8, verse 2. He says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. God is saying, I humbled you. Amen. I put you through a situation and conditions that I may know what is in your heart. Some things are done out of emotion. Some things are done because everybody is doing it. Can you see that? We sometimes, you know, do things because of situations and because of what we can get out of it. I should just go to church and be with my husband at church to secure my marriage. I'll go to church and sing and sweep the church so that dad can do good things to me. when I want something, dad, I know, he's a good boy. He's playing the guitar every time he comes to church. So what, we should give him, mama, can you hear what he's saying? He's our good boy, an example to the church. But he knows I'm doing it so that I can get that. I don't say that what he does. You don't do that, isn't it? But sometimes we do things so that we can secure positions, we can secure privileges. But God, he says, I've done this. I humbled you. But these people, they had left Egypt and they had crossed the Red Sea. They sang songs at the Red Sea until the Spirit of God came down and Miriam prophesied. They were all going to the promised land. Then God says, I want to humble you. But have we not done it? We have left Egypt. Can't you see?
But not to.
We are not in Egypt. We are going to the land you said we must go. But God, you may have done good. The Bible says, oh, if you give your tithes and offerings, the windows of heaven will open. Then you can come with that mentality, a business-minded mentality. It doesn't mean you want to give the tithes, but you want the profit out of the tithes. So that if you give, the windows will open. So what will God do? You give the tithes. What you remain with, you even lose it. And the heavens are closed. But why? The scripture says, I give and windows are open. But how have you given? God wants to know. Is it from the heart? Or you are a good business, a Christian businessman? You want to invest so that you can reap. Can you see? So, God tries your heart. It must be from the heart. He deals with you from the heart. That's why on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, the scripture said, when he had preached, the people heard the word. And then because they were educated people, they could understand. This is what the prophet said. So because they were educated, they accepted the message. Is that what the scripture says? It says when they heard that word, They were pricked in their hearts. And then they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were pricked in the heart. That's the origin of the church of God. It is from the heart. Because Hebrews chapter 4, it says, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. It pierces until it comes to the joints and the marrow. It comes to where there's the separation of the spirit and the mind. It goes to the heart. Amen. And when it gets there, then it will influence your coming to God. It will be from the heart, which has been pierced by the word of God. Amen. That's how we come to God. That's how the church began. It was not out of intellect. Like we think today, because the message is in English, the prophet spoke English, we read the spoken word in English, we understand it better because we've got all those years of secondary school. Now we've got a good understanding of the message. It's not understood by education. It's understood by the heart. In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says, you have committed sin, and you are scattered there. But there's something that I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you out of all those nations, and I'll wash you with water, and I'll remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll give another spirit, and then I'll wash you with that, your conscience, with clean water. And then I'll give you the spirit and my spirit in you. Can you see that? The stone heart is going to be taken out. And you are given a heart that is conducive to the word of God. The heart that can accept the word of God. With a new spirit in it. That's why David said, when he sinned, he says, "Lord, I sinned against you and you only." David, how can you say it that way? You took Bathsheba. You killed her husband. And you said, "You did not sin against Uriah." You say, "I sinned against God." Why did David say that? He says, "You, God, you desire truth in the innermost part of the heart." Can you see that? So to David, it was not just repenting because he had wronged a man. He repented because he had sinned against God. His heart told him, "What you have done, you have done against God." Amen.
Amen.
Even if I have wronged a man, it's not the man that I've wronged. I've wronged God himself. Because if I wrong a man, you know what we do when you wrong a man? Do you know when you go to counsel husband and wife? "Sister, why did you do this?" "But pastor, you know what? My husband, he came late. He not even brought the relish. And then he says I should prepare food. Then I just left him and I went to bed to sleep. Because of what he did." Can you see? "Brother, why are you doing this with the sister?" Oh, she doesn't even listen to me. She doesn't obey. We have got reasons and counter accusations when we sin against one another. So when we repent again, we say, okay, Pastor, you have told me I should do this to my wife. I'm going to do it if she also does this. There are conditions. But what condition can you put to God? I'm going now to repent. If you do this, you cannot do it. So true repentance is to God. And it's from the heart. That's why David says, create in me a new heart and give me a willing spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Paul says in the book of Hebrews. We have been brought to God by a new living way. You know, we know life, you know, it comes from life. Can you see that? So we are coming in a living way. And Peter says we are coming to the stone. We are also living stones. Can you see that? Amen. It is life. We come by life. And Paul says it's a new living way. Because we have been cleaned, our bodies are washed with clean water. And our conscience has been washed with pure water. And we have got that faith unwavering as we boldly come into the Holy of Holies by our hearts. Because there's one thing John said, if your heart condemns you, God is bigger than your heart. Can you see that? So you cannot even come to God if your heart is condemning you. So what it means, make right your heart. Because if you, a sinner, are condemning your heart, how much is God condemning you now? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And David puts it like this in Psalms 24. He says, who will ascend to the holy mount of God? It is those who have a pure heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You cannot see God because they've done this good or done that good. You see God because you have got a pure heart. So out of a pure heart, that's what the gospel says. Out of a pure heart, we worship God. Out of a pure heart, amen. I may make this mistake or that mistake, but my heart must be right with God. If my heart is right with God, it's easy to bring my mind to be right with God. Amen. My everything, it can just fall in line. Because my heart is right with God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We see God out of the purity of the heart. And that's what God has done to us. He brings us in all situations so that we can take inventory of ourselves. We can examine ourselves. And if it is from the heart, sure, we'll always be coming back to God and make our life right. I, the Lord, search the heart and I try the reins so that I know why you are doing what you are doing. We have come to worship God. Let's worship Him from our hearts. Let's commit our hearts to God. Let's give our hearts to God. And everything will fall in line. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God bless you.
Shall we stand? Amen. Some years back, we used to sing the song, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me in heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, that was the prayer of David. I hope the Lord has spoken to you. Are you blessed? Let us just take a moment to speak to the Lord. Speak to Him the way you've been ministered to. Hallelujah.